No, it's, they actually do a really good job of not describing the creature well. So that it leaves a whole bunch up to your imagination, which is great. But yeah, there is definitely a Lovecraftian element to it for sure.
Steampunk Lovecraft. Greetings, Apropos, and buckle up for next. It's the Apropos of Nothing podcast.
With your hosts.
There we go. Salsa.
And Jenna.
And special guest.
Who are you?
D. Go ahead.
That's your cue.
Oh, this leg. That's your cue. This leg is going to be killer. This leg is going to kill her so hard. Oh, yeah,
Our rhythm got thrown off by the missing of our normal, you know, human in this spot. So,
and the leg, because I think that you're like a second or two behind.
Am I? Like, oh, that's exciting.
I don't know. Or I was waiting for you, or you were waiting for me. I don't know, but the timing was awkward.
I just missed the beat. It's fine. It's like every set, right? Eventually you screw up one little timing and everybody's like, oh, the set's ruined.
Just like the Beastie Boys, we let the beat drop.
Okay. Hey, Salsa, what you drinking?
I'm drinking a beer. And I'm going to tell you where the beer is from in a little bit, because that ties back into what I've been doing. But it is, the name of the beer is Oreo Speedwagon. And it is an
that
Oreo stout.
Delicious, except for the fact that it's beer.
Yeah.
It has hops.
It's an Oreo stout, and it's pretty fucking fabulous.
Nice.
So when they call it an Oreo stout, is it like just like a creamy chocolate level then?
Yeah, it's the chocolatiness and the creaminess and yeah, it tastes just like an Oreo dipped in milk.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Very cool.
No complaints.
What
about you, Jenna?
I am drinking basically a White Russian. I've got Kahlua, but I've also got a little creme de cacao and Di Serrano in here. And then I mixed it with one part my silk non-dairy creamer, and then one part just almond milk.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've realized that the creamer itself is too thick and syrupy. The milk itself is too watery. It's not a good milk substitute.
Put them together.
But you put them together and it's
powers
glorious.
Combined.
Yeah.
Wonder Twin powers activate. Form of alcohol.
Yes. And it is delightful. So.
So would that be an almond Russian?
Sure. I mean, I put other stuff in it too, though. Like the Di Serrano. So, I don't know. It's my boozy milkshake.
Boozy milkshake works for me.
Basically what it is for me. It's kind of my go-to. So.
What about you, Mike?
Well, keeping on sort of the chocolate theme here, I've got myself a Hershey's Chocolate Porter Youngling.
Nicely done.
Yep. So they have this Hershey's chocolate porter. I've been eyeballing it for years, and finally I had a meetup with some streamer friends a couple weekends ago, and one of the guys is from Maryland. He's like, happy birthday. Boom. Just sets it down and I'm like, oh my God, I love you.
Nice.
Son of a when we were in Pennsylvania, we stopped at the Hershey factory, and they had in their little bar area, they had the Hershey Yingling.
Yeah,
very, very good stuff. Very good.
It's also got like kind of a chocolate milk thing going on to it. Like you can definitely, it's like it's got a distinct Hershey's chocolate feel to it. So it's not just a labeling. Like you're like, oh no, this is reminds me of childhood, but then also so I can forget childhood.
It's completely scanned. No, very, very, very entirely. Thick and creamy and syrupy and delicious, and I love it.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Nice.
All right.
Way to way high fives all around for the chocolate theme. That's well done.
Oh yeah. No,
it sounds like we planned it, but like absolutely, it just happened.
Yeah.
Seems to be a chocolate kind of week as.
Yeah. So, Salsa, what have you been up to?
So I went fossilin'.
You said your beer had a story.
Yep.
Fossilin'.
I went fossilin'.
Here we come, a fossilin'.
Among the limestones, so dusty. It doesn't. I think it loses something in translation. It's better in the original Greek.
We'll clean it up in post.
Yeah. By the way, we don't edit, Mike. We That's not a thing we do around here.
No, I know. I've been on a podcast. No, post doesn't exist. I've literally listened to podcasts like, who say that.
I've done post in other podcasts before, but that's a word. Listeners who listened to this podcast a couple years back in mid 2020 might remember when my family went fossiling back then. It's a place that my wife had gone to when she was a little, and because this was the beginning of the pandemic, we were like, let's go somewhere that's not the house, and you know, we can be outside where there's, you know, not the danger of being up against other people. So we went to a place in Iowa, this wonderful place near Rockford, Iowa, and they have this pit where it was the bed of a Devonian sea, and so you go out there and it's just the layers of seashells basically from 350 to 400 million years ago laying out there, and the first time we went, we're like, well, we didn't know what to expect. We brought a shovel and no, you don't need the shovel. You just walk out there and like sit down and look at the ground and you will see fossils. They are literally fucking everywhere. But it is a hoot. But this time around, I organized an outing because now we're in a slightly less, you know, COVID-y environment. I organized a get together with a bunch of friends. It was my wife and I and our family and a couple other families that we knew. So there was a grand total of 7 kids and 6 adults. We drove down there in 3 cars. It's a 2-hour drive, give or take. We drove down there in 3 separate cars and got there. And we drove through rain to get there. And we got there and there was no rain. And then we left and there was rain. So we really just perfectly slotted it in. Oh, perfectly.
As soon as you said there was no rain, I had Blind Melon going through my head, and it made me feel really old. Also, there was a bee.
I'm about to say, I had Milli Vanilli stuck in my head. And the whole blame it on the rain. So.
Oh, okay. Sure.
Nice. It was a real, absolutely fun time, because the kids just got out there and were, you know, just full of wonder and delight at finding fossils, you know,
right.
Like they're just running around. Oh, I found a thing. Oh my goodness. It's so cool. You know? And so they're running, just scooping up, you know, 350 million year old clams into their pockets. Like it's no tomorrow. I've got a friend that went with us who has done geology work before. Like he brought his own that he already owned geologist's hammer, like you
of
do.
Of course.
So like
who doesn't
already
have
knew
one of those?
Exactly. Already knew going in that he was going to have a grand time with this and it was like after a couple hours the kids were starting to get tired. Our wives were starting to get tired, but him and I were still halfway up the slope, just like digging away. He's like, oh, yes. Look at this one. Our wives were like, no, seriously, it's time to go.
I love how many of your stories also include you playing with kids like at their level or playing with adults at a kid's level.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah, no, I know delightful. My lane. But
for an old curmudgeon, you're a little kid at heart.
I really respond once they get to about 11 years old, then they start to just become a no shit. But before then, that's when they're just like childlike wonder without the filter. You know, they haven't discovered like societal norms yet. And sure. So just like they can play, and I love that. I absolutely love that, and I encourage it. But yeah, no, it was wonderful. And I walked away with a whole bunch of just wonderful specimens. Some cephalopods we found. We found some beautiful coral, fossilized coral. There's pretty rare, but they're called crinoids, and they're basically like this tube, like almost like a worm animal, like a plant, like a cross between a worm and a plant. So there's these just little tubes with like ridges on them. They're really hard to spot just because of how small they are. But I found a couple of those and some old fossilized, they call it moss animals. And so it's like these... It looks almost like a very tiny like moose antler, where it's got like a almost fuzzy looking texture and like branching, you know, in directions. It's so pretty, but very, very cool. And they're all very small, you know, they're all the size of my thumb or smaller, but just beautiful. And then you get home and you clean them off with a toothbrush and you just, oh, it's so cool. Absolutely the coolest thing. Some people are probably rolling their eyes at me right now, but I'm telling you, this is absolutely one of the most fun things you can do on just like a spring day, is to go out there and just bring a bucket and a trowel and look for fossils, because it is genuinely a fun time. Absolutely fun. Had such a good time. And on the way back, in Clear Lake, Iowa, they have Lake Time Brewery, which is where we stopped. Yep, we stopped there last time to get something, and I still had the growlers, so I got my growlers refilled at Lake Time. Nice. So I have the Oreo Speedwagon. I have That's My Jam Berry Stout, and I have a blueberry blueberry lemonade sour ale.
Okay.
That was very, very good.
Believe that would be very tasty if they hadn't poisoned it with hops.
Indeed. But yeah, no, that was my weekend, was going fossil hunting down in Iowa. And I'm not joking, dear listeners, if you're looking for something to do with the kids on a Saturday or a Sunday, by all means, head down to Rockford, Iowa, to the fossil, what's it called? The Fossil and Prairie Park Reserve. It's a genuinely amazing time. Beyond that, had just to get together with some friends on the Friday night, where we just kind of hung out in the backyard and grilled some hot dogs and chatted, and it was delightful. Oh, that sounds
delightful. It's
we've reached that point where it's just warm enough to be comfortable to go hang out outside, but not so hot that you melt after 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
So, yeah.
Give it 2 weeks.
Exactly. And then I will be a miserable fuck again.
I still wore my sweater until 1 p.m. today, Salsa.
No, and that's the other thing is like out, like last time we had gone fossil hunting, it was, you know, just this direct sun beating down on you, and it was nice and hot. This, we had a nice overcast, so it was like 72 degrees and overcast. It was, oh, it was beautiful weather for fossil hunting. Wonderful. Mm. So, what about you, Jenna?
More unpacking and getting things for the house. I had Joe over Saturday. And he knew, like, I'm like, the first thing that happened is I collected a table from some old high school friends of mine.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was like, I want a good quality, like an old, solid dining room table. Mm-hmm. So I posted it on Facebook, and by the magic of Facebook, some of my college friends, like right away, were like, we have a thing. And they sent me some pictures. Now, here's the thing. The table itself, real solid. But it had a lot of heat spots on it. It was marked up and it's kind of scuffed and this, that, and the other thing.
It's showing some
age. Okay. Yeah. I'm okay with an old table having old things happen to it. If it's been around for like, I don't know, 70 years or whatever, like that's just going to happen. That's a part of the charm, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it was a lot of heat marks. And I was like, do I? I was like, it'll be a project. It'll be fun. And so Saturday afternoon, Joe helped me collect the table. And it had been sitting off into a corner in a basement collecting dust and spider webs and cat hair and all of that stuff, right? Like, uh-huh. It was just an old table that they were like, we should finally get rid of this thing. And then I was like, I need a thing. And they're like, ha-ha, figured it out.
Solution.
Yes. So we wiped down the table. We got all the dirt and dust and dander off of it and brought it into the house and set it up. And I was like, yep, that is the perfect dining room / gaming table. It's real good. It came with three very solid leaves. So like I can extend this out to like 8 to 10 people. Easy.
Mm-hmm.
It's so cool.
So a game of Twilight Imperium at your place then, right? Is it on?
Well, here? I mean, I'll sold. Provide the snacks if everybody else wants to play. I'm not, that's not my style, but I will support and make sure everybody has enough booze and snacks for it.
This sounds perfect.
Yeah. Do a taco bar. Taco bar at my place. Y'all can play that kind of thing.
Taco bar and Twilight Imperium. I think I need a new pair of pants right now.
Yeah. It might become a sleepover at that point.
Yeah, that's fine. I've got several rooms that I don't even know what I'm doing with either. So like, but yeah, we got the table set up and then I was like, okay. So like, I have other things that I want to get done around the house. And Joe was like, I know. And I'm like I have to put the bed together and I've got the fireball table thing. And I've got like the shower head that I need to get on and the bidet. And he's like, I know. I'm just like, well, yeah, but like, I was also hoping we could, you know, just hang out and watch some things or like maybe go out to eat later or something. He's like, we can do all of that too. It's okay. I knew that I was going to be boyfriending at your place this weekend, putting things together. It's fine. So we put together my bed frame because that seemed important. I had an old bed frame, but it was, here's the thing. I've had a queen size mattress on a full size bed frame, which means like it stuck out on either side, like a few inches, maybe 4 or 5 inches on either side.
Yeah.
But it's still not quite the same as having it a queen size mattress.
Getting kind of saggy on the side.
Yeah.
Roll over too far on the side and you slide off.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then sometimes it would shift on the thing itself. So then you'd end up with like 8 to 9 inches hanging off of one side.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it was a mess. That would
trigger my anxiety real fast.
It was fine at the old place because I had the bed tucked into a corner because that's where it fit.
Mm.
So there really wasn't a lot of it sliding around because there was nowhere for it to slide, really. But here I've got, number one, I needed a headboard because I've got the headboard up against the windows.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to smush the kind of papery, fabric-y blind drape thing.
Sure, yeah.
But yeah, then also because it is in the middle of the room with like, you can get off on either side as opposed to having it tucked into the corner like some weird ass college kid teenager. God damn it, also.
Get off on either side.
Damn it, I hate you. You're an adult, huh? All right.
Uh-huh. And we're back, kind of, because our recording software is a dick. And decided to let us down, which really sucks because we had a really interesting conversation, which we will now redo in its entirety.
No, oh, God. Kidding. Oh, God.
You're off book now on the script, right?
Honey, had, I can't like, memorize shit if I stop doing rehearsal. It's more rehearsal than I've had for any of these podcasts in the past, so, you know, fuck it. Let's do this. Okay. So the really cool thing that I wanted to talk about, and yeah, this is going to be a recap, and we're not going to get the amazing surprised reactions.
We could have pretended.
Okay. Well, then.
Actors,
all right.
We can do this, Jenna.
Exactly.
I trust Mike D's ability, but.
Look, I pretend to not hate James every week.
Oh, there is that. No, no, I suppose. Okay. God, we're assholes. So anyway, no, so I had talked earlier about the table that we brought into the house.
Yep.
The old table. And the thing about the table is that it was in desperate need of repair. It had these super, super white hot spots. There are some pictures already in the Discord because I couldn't contain my excitement. Mm-hmm. But
like, it wasn't even like somebody had put a mug of tea, like they had put the entire like pot of ramen on the table or something. Cause it, they're like, they're, yeah. It's not like little like, white rings
consistently yeah, they're, over they're, and over again.
That table has stories.
Which is great. I love furniture that has stories. But I didn't want them to be so loud. So I was like, okay, well, this is gonna need some love and care. Gonna see what we can do about this. And I did not want to sand it and refinish and all of the rest of that. If I could at all help it. So I looked to see if I could at all help it. And I discovered the hairdryer method. And what it is, the science behind it, as far as I understand it, is that because wood is porous, meaning it has pores, when you put something hot and wet down on the wood, it opens up the pores in the wood, in the fibers of the wood, and those pores will take in water, right?
They'll suck in that condensation, yeah.
Suck in the condensation or the, yeah, or whatever is damp nearby. And, oh, God damn it. Get off both sides of the bed. Okay, so.
Isn't that the ultimate bisexual fantasy?
Oh, buddy, yes. So anyway, here for it. Now I lost my entire train. That never happened.
Jenna's thinking about getting off on both sides of the bed now.
Okay. So, but then, you know, as it cools, it traps the water in those spots, right? And that's that white that you see. Like the oil is out, the water is in, and it's just white.
So is it like a zit for the table?
That maybe? I don't know. I mean, you can't really pop it.
No, more. It would be more like a dry patch, like What's it called when you people have dry patch?
When you people.
When you people.
Did I say you? I meant I. Some people. What other people?
You people.
I am immune to skin ailments, unlike you people.
Do you mean eczema?
What's the, yeah, like it's more like an eczema thing or something.
I would probably consider it more like an eczema thing. Because it's taking out the natural oils, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it is, I guess, theoretically drier, even though there's water trapped inside. I don't know. Anyway, whatever. It has a skin condition. So the way that you can remove the trapped water from these hot spots is to open the pores back up, which means applying heat. The trick is to apply a dry heat, not a heat that also has water involved, right?
Oh, it's okay because it's a dry heat. Got it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's not the heat, it's the humidity. So
gotcha.
So the hairdryer method is where you basically take a hairdryer and you slowly just go back and forth over the spot until it opens up the pores, the water, because you want enough heat where the water will evaporate out or get out.
Evaporate out,
yeah. And those pores will start to soak in any nearby oils. And basically, it's not really refinishing itself. It's not finished, but it'll take back in some of the oils surrounding it.
Table, heal thyself.
So I was dubious. I was dubious as fuck. I was like, so you want me to fix this with more heat? Hmm. But I did it, and goddamn if it did not work. Like that table, there's, like I said, pictures in the Discord. We'll post some pictures with the show notes because it's fascinating how much I actually got done with this. But it only took me about an hour 15 to an hour and a half to get all of those spots just, if not completely out, minimized to the point where I don't need to resand the entire thing. Yeah. I can just go over it with some other finishing products. And
I will post the pictures in the show notes, because it quite literally looks like somebody took like a box of sidewalk chalk to the top of this table, and then the next one is somebody washed it off. It is such a jarring difference.
It's so incredible. Yeah. Absolutely fascinating. So yeah, that's what I did. I forget. We had said something earlier that I thought was really cool, and then I forgot about it entirely. But yeah, it was really just fucking fascinating and incredible to like actually have it work. You know what I mean? Like you see life hacks or whatever on the internet, and you're like, sure, whatever. Yeah,
95% of them are making your life harder.
Yeah. There you go, Jenna. You need to film a TikTok about it, and you'll be famous.
Oh, that's what I want to be famous for. You're not
good old TikTok, good Jenna. Anyway. I knew her when.
So yeah, and then I called it a day after that because I was just so goddamn impressed with myself. I was like, fuck it.
No,
fuck it. I'm gonna watch Encanto for like the 58th time. It'll be fine.
I do have a chair in our den that has a little bit of a water stain on it, a little white semicircle on it. That I now I'm really excited to give this a try.
Same.
Yeah. And I will say, like, because it pulls oils in from around it, it doesn't have quite as much sheen. Like, you're going to want to go over it with something, but you don't have to sand. You don't have to whatever. You can just get rid of the heat spot and then, like, I don't know, little lemon oil or whatever.
Well, thankfully, I have a few, you know, wood finishes laying around that I could probably hit it with.
What?
I know, right? Weird.
It's also the grand master of wood. Oh, God damn it.
That's my strip. That's going to be my stripper name now.
Grandmaster of what? All right.
Not no, that's my DJ name.
Oh, there you go.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, should we take a break? I know that's an awkward time for it, but.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, if we're going to.
Oh. There's one more thing that did happen to me. I had gone to a thing previous weekend and found out a few days later that a couple of people had COVID cases.
Ruh-roh.
So I did have to quarantine myself until I could get proper testing, which meant that I did not get to do my show on Thursday that I'd been talking about for forever.
Oh, no!
I did the responsible thing, and like I messaged the producer. I was like, I don't feel comfortable doing this, and she was just like, no, thank you for caring enough to like just kind of gracefully bow out of this one. But it's like the first story slam I'd had access to in like months, and I was very excited. So if anyone wants to hear a story about my roommate's fish committing suicide, I got one of those.
I mean, now I do.
I mean, you're about to say, you have a podcast. You have an avenue to which to tell the story.
That's true.
About right.
No, hold up. I'm going to tell you the abbreviated version because I don't have the full 5 minutes in front of me. But basically, I had a roommate in college who is having a shit fucking time. Her boyfriend left her, her parents were getting a divorce, like all of this stuff, just all of these things happening to her.
It rained and poured.
Yes.
The makings of a country song.
Oh, buddy. But yeah, she had this fish, and one day I come back into the dorm and she had been holding up like a fucking trooper, right? Like she had just been like, yeah, it's, oh, that sucks. Okay. Moving on. I'm here for college. Yeah, I'm here for learning. I'm just going to focus. I get back to our room and she is just sobbing. And I'm like, what happened, darling? What's going on? And she's like, my fish jumped out of the tank. My life is so bad. My fish committed suicide.
Oh, no.
Holy fuck.
Oh, sweet pea.
Oh my god.
So we gave it a proper burial at sea. We collected some of the other girls from the floor to say a few things. Like we did it up proper. I was like, nah, you get to be sad for this for like the next half an hour, but then we're going to wrap this shit up and give your fish the attention it deserves and try to, you know.
Did you go like full on Viking funeral or was it more like?
It was burial at sea. So, okay. The toilet, okay. You know. Mm.
Did you light the toilet on fire or?
Oh, that would have been so much better.
I know.
No, we just let it go. And
pass
yeah,
around the mead horn.
Then we had, well, we did have a wake for the fish afterwards.
There you
because
go.
Obviously, college girls will find any excuse to drink and my roommate needed it. So and we just kind of like everybody hung out in a room, and just told stories and tried to move on, like help my roommate through this difficult time.
Sure.
It was just like, oh, sweetie.
Oh, no.
Fish committed suicide.
Well, on that
was
upbeat note, should we take
a break? Yeah. I think we should.
All right. Dear listeners, tell us
about
whatever you
want to
tell us, I guess. and more woodworking tips that you want to give to us, any of us. I honestly mean that in seriousness, because the whole plant exchange thing I talked about last week went over like gangbusters.
Oh, did it really? Do you have any more hostas to get rid of?
I ended up with some tomatoes and some peppers and some raspberry bushes. And I've got somebody coming over on Thursday to pick up some hostas. So, yeah. No, there was things happening, which made
me happy. So how do you feel about ferns?
We have many ferns.
Okay.
You're going to have to start your own plant exchange, Meg D.
Yeah. If anybody else has ferns, hit up
there
Mike.
There you go. Hit me up.
All right, we're going to take a break.
Hey, everybody. You should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast. Or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for apropos of nothing.
No. Nothing about me is completely straight.
Well, I mean, same friend, but, you know.
Happy
Pride Month, everybody!
Woo!
And we're back. I'm Tulsa.
I'm Jenna.
And I'm Mike D.
Yeah, Mike D!
Got the timing on that one right this time.
Yeah!
Speaking of Mike D, talk to us, Mike.
Tell us about yourself. Who are you? Why are you here? What do you do?
Why am I here?
The legend.
That's a philosophical question that we could get really deep into, why I'm here and all that, but...
Let's.
Oh, God. You're either on the right or the wrong podcast.
Negative on this show. let's see. I do a whole bunch of random weird stuff, whether it be on the internet or here in the theaters. So we'll go with the theater thing first. 7 years ago, I was sitting around a gaming table with friends, one of them including Jeff Gillen. I don't know if you're familiar with him at all. And he, for months, wouldn't shut up about improv. And everybody else was annoyed by it. And I was like, hey, I want to do this since I hadn't done theater since high school. And here we are 7 years later doing all sorts of oddball crap. Like I was telling... also a little bit. I did not get the theater, the acting journey that I wanted, but I got something a hell of a lot more interesting and something that feels a lot more like it's unique, and it's almost something like I'd rather now looking back on this is what you should have been after, not the same old improv journey you were after. But yeah, I mean, so like I just recently joined Vilification Tennis.
Those guys.
Those fool.
Hey, Salsa, retiree, high five.
Retiree, high five. Yeah. Jenna and I are all ensconced in the halls of Vilhalla.
I like it. Let's see. I've done a Haunted Basement for several years, both the online version of it and the in-person. Of it. I cannot believe people paid me money to hold a fake machete to a dude who's like 6'7", right in the small of his like or right here in the back of his neck, and watching this man nearly cry. I'm like, people gave me money to do that. And
nice.
I'm just like,
that's what they were hoping for too, is the thing.
Yeah. one of my greatest moments there was getting somebody to vomit. And we had to clean that up, and the entire time I was just giggling like an idiot. Like I made somebody throw up.
I did that. That was me.
Like I've actually heard that like in the haunt industry, I'm going to make it sound super formal. In the haunt industry, like your goal is to make somebody pee themselves, shit themselves, cry, vomit, whatever. Like people will count those things up at the end of the night and be like, haha, I got this many.
Yeah. I mean, to pull back the curtain a little bit, we had a system at the Haunted Basement. So for those of you who are not familiar, it's a haunt that the actors and staff can interact with you. They can touch you, just not in the swimsuit area. And to a certain extent, there's other places, depending on the person, where we can't touch. But the patrons are not
include the water wings. Does this swimsuit area include the water wings?
I get it. Yeah, okay.
Sure.
Okay. I mean, because are we talking a European swimsuit or like an American swimsuit?
We're talking the traditional two-piece.
Or like Olympics swimsuit.
No, we're talking the traditional two-piece, so.
Okay.
None of this and none of down there, so.
Okay.
What about like a water cap?
No. I mean, you could.
Okay.
You could, depending on now, if people had a religious sort of head dress or something like that on, obviously that's off limits. That's considered part of that body that you're like.
That's rude. Yeah.
What if you go a lot of nude beaches?
Look, you joke about this, and we had a couple who went through one time. just down to their underwear, and I'm just like I broke character for a minute, and I just kind of look over like, what the fuck? Some of us in the basement we're next to nothing, depending on our characters for that night,
right?
And I'm over here like, what? Who the like? I mean, okay, it's not going to make your end of the night being covered in fake blood and who knows what else any easier, but all right, sure. Yeah. But yeah, there's a ton of stories from that. And yeah, I've done a bunch of, I'm in Jester's improv comedy. I've done a whole bunch of other like long form groups. I've since retired from long form improv. It's short form or sketch for me now. So. Yeah, and then on the internet, I do the Twitch streaming thing. So where I play old ass video games from my childhood. Sometimes people watch me do it and watch me fail miserably, and they think I'm entertaining. So I keep doing it.
I watched last night.
The first person I've ever met does that.
Mm-hmm. Wait a minute! Hold on. Goddamn second, motherfucker.
Right. Except here's the thing,
here,
though.
Here, Salsa, this is rude. I told you that my brother and my daughter stream, right?
Oh, that's right. No, I've met brother.
Yeah. Yeah. God.
I just needed attention. That was my excuse. I wasn't getting enough of it being on stage. I'm just like, let me make my life more busy.
Yeah, you're preaching to the choir on that one.
Yeah. I mean, I started doing it because I wasn't getting enough attention on stage because we were in a pandemic.
Yeah.
So there was no stage to get my attention. So I just had to create an electronic one.
Oh, that was TikTok for me. Oh, okay. I created a TikTok account probably about once we realized this wasn't going to be a month or two thing. I was like, all right, I'm gonna get into this app that all the kids are doing, and created 15 to 30 second sketches, and Lord and behold, I think right now I'm up to like 7,000 something followers right now. I don't really do it as much anymore. It's mostly like I've kind of shifted it to gaming content.
Sure.
But it was like, yeah, that was my most pandemic activity. And then a couple friends of mine were like, I made the joke that I'm like, more people have seen one of my TikToks than I've ever had at a improv show. So,
I mean, improv is usually done in theaters that don't have enough seats to facilitate that. Let's be clear.
Right. Yeah. You know,
I mean, I have performed for a venue with over 1,000 seats and it was full. It was part of this show. You may have heard it. Vilification Tennis.
Oh, what's that?
So, yeah. Yo Mama Snaps for Improv Nerds.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
So I performed on TV.
Ooh.
Well.
I've never gotten that honor. I've just done a couple music videos and a couple five people have seen, so. Which is weird because a lot of my film stuff has all been horror related, even though I started doing this thing to be funny. And it's weird how they're like tangentially related because you're eliciting a shock response out of somebody for both comedy and horror. So it's similar mindsets. what you're trying to tap into there.
Like the interesting thing is, like, I academically understand the connection between scary and funny. Like, I intellectually, I understand all of that, but I hate horror and scary. And it's like, it's not my thing. I don't respond to it. I don't understand why people enjoy it. It's not my thing, but I understand the brain wiring and why the two have such a similar, why the Venn diagram is such a big overlap between the two.
Well, Salsa, if you're going to brag about knowing this, maybe you should tell us why. Impart to us your wisdom.
Yeah.
Okay, see, brain make go, and it not like unexpected. And unexpected happen, and it respond.
So,
and that was actually fairly concise. That was actually a fairly concise,
yeah,
real reason why comedy and horror do fit in so much of the same box is like Mike said, with that unexpected, you know, that twist, that from left field. But is the twist a scary twist or a funny twist? But it is still that unexpected, you know.
Exactly. It was funny. I saw a TikTok once that described as to with ADHD and other neurodivergence.
You cut out for a second. Sorry.
Yeah, you cut out for a sec.
Oh, sorry. So I saw a TikTok once that kind of talked about why people with like ADHD, like myself, or other neurodivergence have a very weird sense of humor. Is that because it's almost like something shocking to us is not something we expected. We didn't think of the scenario. And we're like, kind of addicted to that idea of like, wait, that's not something I anticipated. Please enlighten me more. This is very weird and out there in left field and not common.
Go on. I have not already over this angle.
Exactly. I've already overthought 10,000 other angles, but this one in particular, I didn't. Please continue. And that's why things like the Tim and Eric Show got popular.
And the Mighty Boosh.
I was going to say something so insightful, and then I forgot what it was entirely. So,
oh,
no. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm helpful.
Oh, I mean, that's typical, but yeah.
No, it was going to be incredible. It was going to solve world hunger. It was going to unite the peoples.
Would it at least gotten heat stains out of a table?
Yeah, actually, okay. I know how to do that one.
Right.
I can do that one now. So
We got that solved, right?
Working on it. Bucket list. I just got to build up to it.
But Jenna, if you solve world hunger, then who's going to be exploited?
Oh my God, Salsa. You. We're just going to exploit you.
I am proletariat now.
Okay.
We start, start getting into communist
theory.
So you said you've done like sketch?
Yeah. I've been kind of getting my feet wet into the whole sketch arena, which stemmed from the worst improv festival I ever went to, which is also my favorite improv festival to go to.
Is it in the Twin Cities at all?
No.
Oh, good.
This is the Omaha Improv Festival. So I had a without getting too deep into it, the very first time I ever went, it was probably single-handedly the worst set of improv I've ever performed. It was eight people trying to fit on a stage designed for one sad white dude with a guitar.
Okay.
It just didn't go well. Everything they tell you to not do in improv, we were this close to ruining improv.
No.
even though
as an art form forever.
Right? I mean, yeah.
It's like, hey, I think it's a really cool day out today. Nope.
Nope. Yeah. It's like we somehow managed to find every rule they tell you to not do this is happening tonight. In a matter of 20 minutes, we're going to put on a clinic of what not to do in an improv set.
Gross.
Oh, man.
So that happened, but the next day I had signed up with a workshop with Kevin McDonald of Kids in the Hall fame.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah.
So, and a lot of people in the Twin Cities will be familiar with taking his workshop. He's done it a couple times at Strike. Maybe he's done it at Huge before, too. But this was just a condensed, like, 8-hour, whole day thing of his workshop that sometimes he spans out over 2 days. And it's the Kids in the Hall style of how they write their sketches through improv. And kind of break it down. So they'll do a bunch of improv. It'll be terrible, whatever. But they'll take, like, one nugget out of that and from that extract the thing out and start storyboarding a whole idea of a sketch based out of that. So,
Let it organically kind of happen.
Yeah, exactly. Instead of just sitting there with a pen and being like, what's a dumb concept that I can write a sketch about and come up with nothing? So we did that. The sketch we did ended up being about it was a couple who was on the fritz and they were both at a dentist getting dental work done at the same time. And the couple, it was me and another guy who were the couple. And the thing of it is we actually don't have any good dialogue. Like all of our dialogue was got dental tools in our mouth.
Sure.
Right.
It's all based on the interpretation of the dentist. Literally giving all of the dialogue for this entire sketch, but
nice. That's fun.
And as we reconcile, the dentist forgets to give us Novocaine and goes in for a double drill and into the mouth for a root canal. So that's how we are.
Comedy and horror all in one, right there. Yeah. Fuck.
And hanging out with that, getting to do that on stage, and then Kevin McDonald telling me that he thought I was funny. I was like, oh my god,
that's going on my fucking tombstone.
That's it. Literally the thing I remind myself every time I feel like I've done something shit on stage is like, yeah, but somebody who has a show on Amazon who got paid to show his dick on Amazon TV. If you've seen the first episode of the new Kids in the Hall, that's spoiler. Told me I was funny. So
nice. Yeah,
always got that in the back.
That's awesome. Yeah.
So nice. I've gotten into that. I've been trying to organize people like Cats into getting some more sketch out there. But I've had a couple things that I've written that I've kind of thrown out there and hoping I can organize it more in a fashion or get out there into more like things where I can perform and write more sketch. So
now, do you want to put together a show with a regular cast, or do you want to just kind of piecemeal it here and there and put a little bit on TikTok, a little bit on YouTube, and a little bit on stage? Or what direction do you want to go with that?
I think my idea would be to have a core group of people that I would work with all the time. Like, I mean, that seems to be the format for a lot of groups, like, you know, your Kids in the Halls, your Monty Python, you know, and any of these big sketch groups like that, where they've got this core team, you know, of all of them acting, writing, and whatnot. I mean, I wouldn't be opposed to doing like one-offs and putting stuff out there, but I've kind of got some people that I've grown up doing theater stuff with in this past 7 years that'd be like, hey, we should all get together and actually script stuff out instead of trying to play make him ups on stage once.
Sure. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So just a matter of trying to align all of our schedules. It's like trying to be in a ska band. Everybody one day off a week, you can rehearse.
Ask us how many times we've had to reschedule this show.
The last time we shifted the schedule on this podcast, I think, was right before the pandemic. Because I was like, I'm going to start doing Tuesday night blah blahs, so we need to reschedule this. And, like, we figured it out. And then the pandemic happened, and I was like, son of a bitch!
Now I got all the time in the world.
Yeah, you want to record 6 days a week?
Right. I bet you a lot of podcasts got started over the pandemic.
Many podcasts.
Or people like me who did all that and then got a puppy during the pandemic, who's now, you know, a little over 2 years old. So.
I know off the top of my head, I know a few people that started podcasts over the pandemic. Because there was that whole period of time, like in the first few months, where everybody got into sourdough. You know, everybody bought all the toilet paper. And then everybody started like podcasting, like down into August at point in time when we had been into it for a good four or five, 6 months. Everybody was like, "Oh, podcasts, that's a thing." I know that. I know of the ones I can think of off the top of my head, all of them made like 2 episodes and then quit. But
yeah, apparently when you put effort into it, podcasting is hard.
It is. Yeah. That's what
we don't put any effort into it. That's why we've been going for like 11 years or something.
Well,
I
fully admit, like, I started another podcast was before the pandemic started, but I started another podcast too. And this one was going to be like edited and polished, and I was going to have production value. And I did 3 episodes and went, Jesus Christ, that's a lot of work.
Yep,
and I would love to keep doing it, but it was too much work for me. With the schedule that I had.
Let's see, what were my pandemic activities? So the first 3 months, my wife and I had what we'd call Vice Saturday, where we just use it as an excuse to make all sorts of concoctions at our basement bar.
Nice.
And after about 3 months, that was like, we've been doing this every Saturday. This is getting old, and also this is probably not healthy. So I got into gardening because the place that we bought, literally, we moved in a month and a half before. So like the pandemic probably starts in the U.S., but March of 2019.
April.
We moved in January. And so when things started to melt and all that. 2020. Yes. Yep. 2020.
I'm like, wait a minute. No. Hold on.
It was straight.
It just feels like 2019. Yeah.
God, it's like time doesn't mean anything anymore. And it's relative.
Yeah, it was March and April. Because May was supposed to be my first festival of the season, and they started getting canceled right about that time. So,
yeah.
Yep. But yeah, so then as things melt, we discovered that we had a whole swath of raspberry bushes in our backyard.
Nice.
And a whole bunch of blueberry bushes.
Oh.
No, we were like, so I see these, and my brain immediately goes, well, since there's already a head start, why don't we start adding more shit to this equation?
Oh, yeah.
I got into gardening. I got into picking up pallets off of random people and building my own cedar boxes out of just pallet wood. And
nice.
So that's cool. that was my thing. So I'm doing the good little leftist prepper things in the garden on my own, you know. I mean, there's a lot of like error that comes with that. Like, you start learning, you're like, hey, I can't just on a whim in the middle of June, at the end of June, decide we're growing pumpkins, because you're probably a little too late in the game to do that.
Yeah, you kind of have to plan that out a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, I recently moved, and I'm just trying to at this point discover what my yard has, right? So you're talking about this, and I'm like, well, I know I don't have any blueberry bushes.
Well, if you need raspberry bushes, I am happy to give you some. There's more than we can do anything with of raspberry. We harvest them. We're out there at the peak of this. We're harvesting them every day, and I can't get rid of enough of them. Because I'm like, we cannot consume this many raspberries.
Do you have any blueberries?
They haven't started yet. I've only got four of the bushes right now. We thought our dog destroyed one of them, the puppy, but it's still growing, even though it's half the size of what it used to be.
Oh my God.
Let me discuss it with my wife, but I picked up, like I said, 4 or 5 raspberry bushes, but I might take some more because I make my own mead, and having some raspberries for flavoring ciders and meads would be a good thing.
But I'll let you know when we
get, we've got the garden space coming up.
Yeah.
No, we had a similar thing. We moved in December is when we moved. And we, this spring happened and we looked in our backyard and our garden was holy shit. Cause somebody had spent a lot of time and effort putting this thing together. Cause it had more hostas than you can shake a stick at, but it also had, but beautifully laid out, but it also had, it also had tulips and lilies and, pansies and daisies and ferns and bleeding hearts and just like holy shit,
salsa?
So much, there's so much stuff going on back there.
Were there any hostas?
I'm not sure. Let me think about it. You know, there might have been some. Yes. Oh.
Maybe? Okay.
Just a couple?
Just a few. Yeah, there's like speckled ones and striped ones and, you know, party colored ones and all sorts of, yeah, they're all over. So. All
right.
Some daffodils back there. Anyway, yeah. But we're going to get some rhubarb from my sister-in-law, and I've already got some raspberries, but I could probably do some more. And yeah, we're going to make some tasty.
I mean, you know I will drink your raspberry mead, so.
Yes. Well, this place also has a couple apple trees in the backyard already, so I'm going to be making some cider.
Also, I've got more spearmint than I can shake a stick at, so if y'all just need spearmints,
Jenna will take all of the spearmint.
I don't know if either of you have ever worked with mint before.
I have had a yard with catnip in it, and by that I mean by the time I moved out of that place 2 years later, it was primarily catnip, and they're in the same family.
That is exactly
what mint does. So I do know what I'm signing up for.
That is exactly what happens with mint. I made the mistake of like, let's just put one little mint plant in this one contained area, and now here we are 2 years later, and it just took over this whole like area. Yep. Like these poor tulips are like, we're trying to grow, but
a very specific portion of my yard that is just bricked in with like, it's a 1x6 area of dirt, and then it's just brick and cement and house all around it, and I'm like, I could probably get away with some mint there.
There you go.
Because then at least it's contained, right?
Exactly.
Theoretically, until it somehow jumps the concrete and there you go. Rest of my yard.
Exactly.
But yeah.
Also,
I'm aware.
Through this process of gardening, I have some that strawberries are both one of the hardiest things in that you cannot kill them, even if you're actively. And also, they're somehow perennials. At least my strawberry bushes have.
Okay.
Like I've had the same strawberry bushes coming up producing strawberries for the last 3 years. Touched them. I planted them 1 year. I let them go. I thought they died off. The next year, they came back. And they've been doing that.
The strawberries came back.
So I don't know if it's accurate, but at least something, there's some mutant element in my dirt then that just continues to produce the strawberries.
I mean, there are worse problems you could have.
I was about to say that could be a much sadder story. Could be hostage.
There you go.
dear listener, hey, do you want some plants? Let's keep the plant exchange going because it sounds like we've got a new challenger has entered the ring. Let us know. We'll try to make sure that anybody who wants plants can get hooked up in whatever form happens.
Should we create a new channel? There. Should we create a What You Been Planting channel?
What You Been Planting, there you go.
We could probably, is there one already reading, watching, playing, making? Making?
I mean, there's making. Possibly. Could do a good amount. I think making has been used, especially by Troy to Troy. For things like that too, so.
I mean, I think in the general, was it the general chat where Stefan and Troy have already put an entire list of things that they've got. So So let's just keep it going in the general chat. Right. It's already been started. So yeah.
Let's do that. Weeds. Does anybody want weeds?
I mean,
know what they are. All plants are
weeds. On the kind of weeds. Yeah.
All plants are weeds. The only definition of weed is an unwanted plant. So if it's unwanted, the fucking hostas are weeds right now.
That was me with horseradish last year. I discovered we had this little patch of garden that kept growing horseradish, and I'm like, out, damn you.
Oh,
it's finally gone now, but it took me 2 years to like get rid of all of it.
Too late.
That's okay.
It is since been replaced with rhubarb.
Nice. No, but yeah, definitely. If you want plants, if you have plants, post it in the Discord chat, and we'll keep this exchange going. And if you have any thoughts on anything else that we've talked about here, by all means, go to the Facebook or the Discord and let us know what you think. We're going to take a break and come back at you with our Fast Five.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast.
If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
And work. I'm Salsa.
I'm Jenna.
And I'm Mike.
Yay, and it is time for a Fast Five.
Fast Five.
All right. Quick question. Mike, do you know what a Fast Five is? Do you know how this works?
I have a vague idea. I did listen to it.
Again, you're doing better than most people. All right. So,
homework. Take notes, future guests.
Yes, future guests that we ask last minute, do your note.
Absolutely.
This was the one night I had free this week, and I'm like
sure, I'll be on a 1:00 podcast. O'clock today. I'm like, hey, Mike, what are you doing?
Today's Fast Five comes to us from James.
What? That asshole.
I know, right?
Oh. Pardon me.
James writes, opening thoughts, love to you, friends, heart. I'm traveling for sad reasons, but you bring me much joy.
Aww.
Aww.
He's such a sweetie. Why do you hate him so much, Salsa?
Because he's a sweetie.
He was my coach for my amateur show.
And you still got in?
Oh, yeah.
it's he is the yin to my yang. He is sweet. I am curmudgeonly as fuck.
What the hell am I doing here?
You are the glue that holds us together.
Ew.
There's the Sith, there's the Jedi, and you kind of play the role of like Ahsoka Tano.
Oh, I'm okay with that then.
Right.
Yeah, that's. Fuck yeah, I'm in. That's all right.
Yeah. Shit. All right.
Yep.
Nailed anyway, it. Question number one. Flowers or tomatoes?
I prefer to have flowers and pollinators in my yard as opposed to food. Only because I dislike pests. I don't like rodents. I don't want them in my yard. But I'm fine with bees and butterflies. Anything I can do to deter little critters getting into my house, up to and including having tomatoes in my garden. Yeah. Just nope.
See, I'm going I'm going the other way. I'm going with Mados because I think yards and lawns in general are fucking useless, and gardens bore me. But if I'm at least going to be able to eat some of it, then it's been all worth it.
Oh my God. What if the context is, which plant should James go walking first? I still can't believe that's a fucking thing. I've been thinking about that all goddamn week. I just picked little stroller with a plant. I don't. Like, I know that this is a thing, and I get that, like, apartment dwelling is what I can't. I'm still. Anyway.
In that case, I would have to go with flowers.
Yeah.
No, I'd still go tomato in any scenario. A tomato is, like, depending if you just go, like, get, like, the big plants that are already there with the, like, little cages already mm-hmm. attached with them. It makes a statement. They're big. Like, that thing protrudes from a whatever stroller you'd be walking that plant with.
Oh, no. Yeah, no, it would have to be tomatoes. Yeah. Because then he could walk that stroller in front of your house, park it in front of your house, and just pop a tomato into his mouth.
Or pop the tomato at your house, depending on his feelings towards you.
One for me, one for you.
One for you.
One for me, one for you.
No. Also, I have to go tomatoes, because we talked about the whole food thing earlier, and also I had the most aggravating yet adorable moment happened with my puppy, where he broke into my garden, pulled the tomato off the plant, and then proceeded to start playing with it like it was a ball.
Oh.
And I'm like, you asshole, but also this is adorable.
Right. Yeah. No, I get that entirely. Yeah.
Okay. I will take the loss of this one tomato.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm like, fine.
Delightful. All right. Question number two. Height or width?
Why is it always got to be about height? God damn it. I'm angry.
It's not. Sometimes it's about width, Jenna.
Oh, then I'm attention. Going width. Why you always got to bring height into it? God damn. I'm trying to think of what the context is. Would you rather have a taller trellis or a longer, wider trellis? I think longer.
Yeah. I don't know if having a taller trellis does much for you.
Well, unless you're trying to get vines to climb like way the hell up there.
Or hops.
I think I'm going to go width. I think I would rather have a pumpkin with a good, you know, round width than having one of the tall pumpkins. You know, I think the width is the more stereotypical, like, pumpkin shape.
Pumpkin shape, sure.
I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm also internally, I'm giggling like a 12-year-old.
As you should be.
So we all know. Yeah. I watched Question number- not say the word girth.
Very, very, very carefully.
Yep.
Almost. It almost came out.
Almost.
I watched. I was hoping for it. I was waiting.
Oh, you know me so well. Question number three. Over or under?
Wait, are we talking betting?
Maybe.
Could be. Do you sleep over or under your top sheet? I always try to sleep under my top sheet, but somehow I always end up on top of it for no good goddamn reason. It annoys the hell out of Joe, and I can't even be upset with him over it. Like, I'm upset with myself over it. I don't know how that happens. Uh, Yep. I don't think that's the context. I'm going to think of some more. But
I'm going to say in that context, I've got two dogs in my bed at all times when sleeping. So I have as little stuff on top of me as possible, because usually I have literally a dog on top of me.
Sure.
So.
Let's see, over or under? Would you rather travel by train or like by airplane or helicopter or something like in the sky, or would you rather travel by subway?
Because
I don't know. I'm trying to.
This is James.
Yeah.
Because this is James, and therefore it's probably going to be super esoteric.
Right.
I think that I would rather invite my friends over than have an understanding that I would go to their place.
Wow. That is pretty James esoteric. Although now I'm thinking it's going to be something incredibly mundane, because he'll do that too. And it's just going to be like,
because he'll throw the curveball. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you put your ketchup on the top bun or the bottom bun?
Or do you put your milk over the cereal or under it?
Oh, he would do that. That's a son of a bitch. Now I'm mad at him for a thing he may not have even done.
I'm going to go with under us one, because I always, people look at me weird, but I put the ketchup and mustard and thing in the bun first and then the hot dog on top. Because it's
okay. I thought we were still talking about milk. I thought we were still talking about milk and cereal. I
put my ketchup and mustard in the bowl first, and then the Cap'n Crunch goes on top of that.
Okay. This makes sense.
No, I put the ketchup and mustard and relish and onion and everything in the bun, and the hot dog goes on top of it. Because that way everything is self-contained. You don't have the big mess and you bite into it. All the condiments on top, it goes everywhere. Put them inside, they're contained, they're held together.
Now, there is one specific thing that definitely needs to go on the bun rather than on the meat. In any situation that you're using it, and that's mayo.
Yes.
Mayo is specifically designed to go on the bun to help prevent juices from getting into it.
And also is delicious.
And also is delicious and should be eaten with everything. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. For all of these reasons, I'm going over.
All I can keep thinking about now is trying to make a Chicago dog by putting all the 97 ingredients of it in the bun before you put the hot dog.
It's like the cherry on top. It's just, but it's a hot dog.
A Chicago dog is a beast unto itself, though.
Yeah. And like chili dog, I am Chicago a chili dog person. I want a good proper chili dog, but with raw onions.
Well, of course.
I'm not sure if either of you know Rob Ward, but he is a diehard Chicagoite.
I recently directed him, Mike.
So I will at every opportunity send him pictures of ketchup on hot dogs. Just to get a rise out of him.
With this, can I get in on this?
Hey, I don't know him well enough to be able to pull this off, but it would be amazing.
No, after the amount of shit that he gave me during the rehearsal process, I think we're to the point.
This is what you need to start doing. Randomly text him pictures of you enjoying a hot dog with ketchup on it.
All right. Next time I have a hot dog, I'm just going to be like, hey, I heard you like pictures of hot dogs. I'm just going to send it. Seems like a weird thing to me, but
Mike is
going to
at 3 in the morning suddenly get a message like, you son of a bitch.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. It's going to be a little bit, though, because I don't have hot dogs, nor am I planning on getting any right now. But I am thinking of having a cookout in a few weeks. So assuming COVID cases continue to go down. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, maybe then.
Let's see. So what were you going with, Mike? Over, under?
We're going to go over. I'm still in the betting realm of things. So we're just going to say over.
Okay.
I don't know that I've decided. I think I'm under.
Oh, I thought you went with under. So
I know it depends on which of the 18 million contexts we came up with, but I'm just going to say under. I'm just going to say under.
Question number four. Upper or lower?
This better not be about Michigan.
Well, I don't.
If it is, then it's got to be the Youper.
The Youper.
Mm-hmm.
Upper or lower? How do you get through finals week?
Not downers, lower.
I know, but it was the first thing to come to mind, an improv pitch.
Sure.
I would rather travel on the lower decks than have somebody pull an upper decker.
Oh. I'm going to simplify it.
That sounds like a James context, and you know
it absolutely would. I'm going to simplify this and go, it's lower your bar.
There you go. When in doubt, tagline.
Lower your bar.
I would sing with you, but like, I already know we're on legs.
It would make it awful. Yeah. It
would go awful.
A little bit. I would think I would have to go with lower because I don't like flying, and so I want to be as low, like lower to the ground as humanly possible. So
I don't like flying either, but up or down really doesn't matter. It's the air pressure changes that really fuck with my inner ear. And so it feels like there's a stake going through it. So I don't care what level we're at. I just don't want to shift from that ever.
No,
unfortunately, planes ascend and descend. That's the whole point.
Yep.
I turn into an absolute 7-year-old on a plane and I'm just plastered to the window going, ah!
Yeah, no, I actually think it's kind of neat to watch, but like then my ears bleed. So,
my brain just keeps telling me, hey, you know you're 35,000 feet up in the air, right? That's one hell of a
awesome,
drop.
Isn't it?
And then it's my brain's like, that's one hell of a drop. And I'm like, oh God, why?
It's awesome. It's way safer than doing something stupid like swallowing swords.
Yeah, who would do that?
I don't know, some jerk.
Okay.
Question number five. Pulp or juice?
I am not a huge pulp person. I like
the pulp.
The juice.
No.
I'm
not like
really know anybody else that's a pulp person, but I like it.
I'm not anti-pulp. I'm not like fully against it, but I definitely do not want pulp in my mimosas.
I definitely know
and
my
that is. Yeah, that is how I generally drink my orange juice is with champagne. So
like, I know my father-in-law is a huge pulp person because I know that because we have to buy pulp orange juice whenever my in-laws come to visit. And every time I do, I feel a little gross inside.
I have context. I have context.
Okay.
Would you rather read Pulp Fiction?
This is where I was going with it.
Or a juicy romance novel?
This is absolutely where... We're on the same wavelength, which is creepy, but I was absolutely going to go with Pulp Fiction. I have a soft spot.
We've been doing this podcast together for over a decade, Salsa.
Yeah.
Eventually it's going to happen.
No, I have a soft spot for good Pulp Fiction.
I love both, but there's something about, I don't know, the feel of the time for Pulp Fiction. Just kind of the mm-hmm. not feel of the time, but like the feel of the patter, I guess. The presentation of it that is just so like everything's dire every other moment. I like that. That's fun. Mm-hmm. So in that, I would have to go Pulp.
Okay.
Although I do enjoy a juicy romance novel.
You know what's really fun? Reading romance novels to people who think romance novels are about romance.
Did either of you ever hear Gilbert, speaking of that, Gilbert Godfrey reading 50 Shades of Grey?
No, but I can imagine it.
I did hear a clip of that, and it was horrifying, but intriguing all of the
yeah,
same time.
I'm like, I don't want to be into this, but I'm into it.
we had, so a few years back, we had a belly dancing troupe on the same stages at the Renaissance Festival, and one of them had a romance novel, and one of the members of Fondazzi, really great guy, kind of naive and innocent to the world, but we started to have story time where we would sit backstage and read the romance novel.
Aww.
And like I said, he was a very sweet guy and rather innocent and just assumed romance novels were about romance and didn't realize just how fucking hardcore they were.
And I mean, so to some people, that's romance.
I know, but he thought it was like, oh, and her hair was beautiful and we gazed into each other's eyes and blah blah blah, and she's reading
about
not just reading
robbing member
not just reading but reading this
yeah.
story, and he is squirming.
Yes. Like,
no tomorrow. And we get done with it, and he's like, my mom reads these. And you're like, huh? Yes. Uh-huh. Yes, she does.
Where do you think you came from, sweet cheeks? Come on.
It is having, and it's usually guys. It's usually guys that are around the college age where you start to read these to them and they go, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And it's always a beautiful moment.
Meanwhile, if you were able to pull up the same dude's porn history, you'd also be going,
oh my god.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, definitely. But it's always the same response is, my mom reads these.
Yeah. Yeah, there are certain things your mom had to do mm-hmm. to have you.
Mm-hmm.
I hate to break it to you, but your parents have had sex.
Yeah.
It's just... Now, I don't want to think about my parents.
No, I don't want to think about that. I mean, no. I don't...
But you have to acknowledge that your parents at least have done that.
Yep.
How this works. Unless you're adopted, I guess.
I mean, that still happened.
Right. At some point, somebody had to have sex to have you.
Yeah.
Right.
That's why... That's why, canonically speaking, in the Disney universe, we know Goofy has done it.
Oh, mm-hmm. God. Aww.
Anyway, second email.
I didn't want to think about that at all.
Yuck.
God.
Gorsh.
No.
Gorsh, that feels good.
Oh God, nope. I will leave. I will take this headset off.
Tickle my taint.
Nope. Fuck you guys. God damn goofy sex talk.
What's that little yell?
Not what I meant when I said I want it weird. Oh God.
Call me Mickey.
Nope. I'm noping right the fuck out of this podcast.
Okay. Second email.
I've ruined Jenna.
Oh, please.
Oh.
By the way, somebody send me that fanfic.
James probably already has it. Let's be fair.
All right. Second email. Question number one. Mm. Flowers or tomatoes? From what you know of steel magnolias, flowers, and dried green tomato, which is the one you'd pick for your next movie night?
Oh.
What is steel magnolias? Which one is that? I don't actually know anything about
it. I know I've seen it. I can't remember what it's about, though, because of the brain injury. I can never remember these things.
I actually do. But Fried Green Tomatoes is a phenomenal movie, so I would watch that in a heartbeat.
Oh, absolutely. I'm just looking it up now.
So, Sally Fields is the mother of a bride-to-be, Julia Roberts, and as the friend, played by Dolly Parton, fixes the women's hair for the ceremony, they welcome a helping hand from aspiring beautician, played by Daryl Hannah. That's what I got here for a...
That's the synopsis of the movie?
Yeah, that's what I'm being told.
I mean,
here.
There's the very end of that,
well, that
has time passes
fuck.
And all the women and their friends encounter tragedy and good fortune, growing stronger and closer in the process. It's a slice of life thing.
Yeah.
I think maybe I haven't seen this one. I thought I had.
But Friday night.
I know it was super popular. Like, it made almost 100 million.
But Fried Green Tomatoes was phenomenal.
Fried Green Tomatoes was pretty fucking amazing.
But if we're keeping with the tomato theme, what about popping in Attack of the Killer Tomatoes for movie night?
Even better.
Yeah.
Fried Green Tomatoes, yeah. Attack of the Killer Tomatoes, double header. I would absolutely watch that. A double feature. That's the baseball is a double header. Yeah, whatever. I don't know.
I knew what you were saying.
Question number two. Height or width? On a terrible flight, would you choose a seat that is close enough your knees touch the seat in front of you, height, or where your shoulders overlap the next person's width? How long's the flight?
Jeez.
I'm going to go height. Number one.
That's going to be a fucking small
seat. That's never happened to me before, so... I've never had problems with airplane seats or any seats ever being too close together. That sounds like a fun and unique experience for me. And I hate touching other people. I'm not even much of a hugger, let alone touching strangers.
I think I would also go height.
Yep.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Same. Mike, you're good with yours?
Yep.
All right.
Yep. We're going height on that. I don't want to have somebody else's like armpit sweat anywhere near me.
No, that's fair. All right. Question number three: over or under? Choose a curse. Would you rather be perpetually hungover or have your underwear riding up? Oh, this is easy. I would just go commando.
I'm just going to say that, like, I'm from Wisconsin, and I was a college kid, so I spent most of my early 20s being perpetually hungover, so I've already experienced that. I've been there, done that.
Can I take drugs for the perpetual hangover? Because I mean, can't go without underwear. I can't go commando.
I mean, that's fair.
Yeah.
Sure.
So.
I would just kilt up and be done.
Yeah, I'm about to say, yeah. I made the mistake of zipping wrong once, and I'm like, nope, never doing that again.
That's fair. No, I just, like, by necessity, I must wear underwear. So going commando is not an option for me. Having them ride up sucks. But I've also worn a lot of thongs, and that's basically the same thing. I feel like you would get used to having your underwear perpetually ride up.
Yeah, I think so.
Whereas the perpetual hangover...
It's just, it ruins your whole day.
It really does.
I think that would just be awful.
So, I think I'm going to go underwear.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have to agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Question number 4, upper or lower? Which do you think you'd rather have professionally done after a long flight? A manicure or a pedicure?
None of the above. I do not like things pulling on my nails.
Yeah, I'm not. I've never had either done.
I've had them both done, and I hate people touching my feet.
Okay.
So I just, I'm like super ticklish. So I'm like, yeah, we're going to go with the hands on that one.
Yeah. I don't like clipping my own nails. I don't want somebody else pulling on my nails.
I guess I'm confused by the qualifier of after a flight. Like, is that a thing that people do after a flight at a mani or a pedi? Or is this just
maybe. It might be a thing James does, and maybe it is a thing that a lot of other people do.
Gets his post-flight pedicure.
Yeah, listeners, please let us know if this is a thing that you do while for flying regularly, because I'm curious.
Again, I've never had either done, but I'm curious about getting like a pedicure.
You should absolutely do it.
I've been told that before, and I'm not resisting it. It's just nothing that I'm not saying no, I'm not going to do it. But I've never sought it out. But if somebody's like, hey, let's go get pedicures, I think I would be like, yeah, let's give this a try. I'd say
now,
because then if I hated it, I could put shoes on and not have to look at it.
That's fair, but I think it's supposed to be more about the treatments to your feet,
yeah.
Right?
Mm. Yeah.
Like, again, I don't like people pulling on my nails, so I've never had this, but...
Like, they do a bunch of stuff like scrubbing your feet with some sort of, like pumice.
Yeah, they do the pumice stone and, like, a loose thing. I mean...
It's like an oil treatment of some sort or whatever.
I've got the feet of a farmer, and so having somebody pamper it for a little bit would be a very much thing that my feet would not be expecting. So I would give that a try.
Yeah, I couldn't do it. I'm like super sensitive on my feet, plus they've got all sorts of gnarly stuff going on because of soccer injuries. You can't play soccer for 15 years and not have messed your feet up at some capacity.
That would make it better.
No, I've got like some weird like nerve stuff going on in there where it's just like, I'm like, oh God, I can feel everything.
Oh, okay.
It's like a hypersensitive thing to it. I can't feel it. I'm just like, oh no.
I thought it was an aesthetic thing that you were talking about, in which case physically that would be
physically sensitive
awesome.
To it, not emotionally sensitive to
like,
it. Yeah.
I'm like, no.
Gotcha.
Nah.
All right. Yeah. All right. Question number 5, pulp or juice? We were halfway there, Jeff. Which would you...
Living on a prayer?
Which would be the better way to discover your name out in the wild? Really bad fanfics, pulp, or eavesdropping on two neighbors exchanging gossip, juice?
Which is the worst way or the better way?
Which would be a better way to discover your name in the wild?
My name?
I would love. I would love to. Yeah, yeah. Basically, like, would you rather that two people were talking about you, or somebody wrote fanfic about you?
I am so over people talking about me. Get creative with it, bitches. Write me some fanfic.
I would love. I'm done. I would love to have fanfic about me. That would be amazing.
I think I'd be. I'm gonna say I'd be creeped the fuck out by it.
Creepy, but it would be amazing.
I've already dealt with people on the internet being really strange, and putting a narrative in their head that we are something that we are definitely not. So I'm just thought I don't want to entertain that with somebody writing fanfic about me.
I was a belly dancer for several years. It might already exist. I've accepted this as a part of my life and my choices and who I am as a person.
No, this is 100% fair. Dear listeners, the weirder, the better for me. Make that shit fuck up. I would love to read it.
Okay, listeners, I don't care if you write fanfic about me. I'd rather not know about it. But you know, you do you. You need to explore some ideas or whatever. I'm not. But please don't make that about me on a personal or direct level.
If you have to with me, at least let me proofread it.
Oh, there you go. No, that's a good call.
I want the weird, the weirder the better. I want this shit to be fucked up.
I'll let Joe know.
I would be fucking lighted.
Also finding love on the high seas with the Kraken.
Oh, that would be so amazing. Oh, are you kidding? Oh, man, Kraken beak would be really nasty shit to me, and it would be amazing.
Okay, brother figure. I'm over this.
Split me open like a fucking coconut.
Or just the fanfic of Salsa and Goofy.
No. Oh, God. Never again.
You're never going to be able to watch the Goofy movie ever again now.
I never watched it in the first place. Well, Goofy's not really my favorite character. So, anyway. Okay, what's next?
Closing thoughts. These were weird, but honestly, what did you expect? Tell people you love them. I love you. Thank you so much, James. If you would like to send in a Fast Five, please go to our website, a1podcast.com, click on the Submit a Fast Five button, and fill out the form. It's that easy. And then we dress. Yeah. Does anybody have a shout out?
I got to give a shout out to Joe, because he was boyfriending real fucking good this weekend. His words, he was boyfriending good. I didn't think it was a boyfriend duty specific, but, I mean, he is taller than me. He's not a very tall person. He is taller than me, and he did get that shower head up for me as well. So yeah, I was really glad to have, his assistance and things around my house this weekend. So I try to avoid the shout outs to Joe because I pretty much would do that all the time. He's really good to me, but this weekend, I think he gets an extra.
No, I understand that. I do the same thing with my wife, but every so often it's no, you use her.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly. So. Right. So I'll see you guys.
Excuse me. Yes, I am giving my shout out to the Fossil and Prairie Center. I'm trying to bring their website up. The Fossil and Prairie Park Reserve, home of Devonian fossils. It's out near Rockford, Iowa. It's about a 2-hour drive from the Twin Cities, and it is a fucking hoot. The only stipulation is you cannot sell the fossils for money or personal gain. Otherwise, you can take whatever you want home with you. So head on out there, pick up some fossils, bring them, put them in your rock garden, and have something sitting on your desk that's 350 million years old. How fucking cool is that? So yeah, it's a really fucking cool place. Check it out. Mike, do you have any shout-outs?
Mike, did you have one?
I do. I'm also going to swing back and give a shout out to the significant other. I know there's been some in real life stuff that has not been fun. And so she's kind of had to step in and help out with some family stuff. And on top of everything else she does, plus she's just an incredible human and is, again, the yin to my yang. She does all this nice stuff for the community, and I'm over here talking about your fat mom. So it's just like it's a great balance, and I never thought I'd be able to put up with somebody for at least 15 years and plus some.
Aww,
dog.
You know? I really should say it's more her putting up with me for the last 15 years. If we're gonna,
that's let's be accurate. Yeah. Does anybody have anything to plug?
I'm scared if I did plug anything at this point, I'd have another COVID scare. And I'm just like, God damn it. But no, I'm empty for a while.
Yeah, I don't have another festival for another month at least right now. So, okay. Mike, now's your chance.
I do. I can't remember what the date of the Vilification Tennis Show this month is, but I'm in it. In fact, all three of us from the amateur show are in it. So it's sometime later on in June. I don't have the exact date in front of me right now. But yeah, you should check that out. Also, if you want to watch me play really old video games and be bad at it, you can find me at twitch.tv/thisismikeD. Like we played Oregon Trail last night.
It was delightful. You also have Jesters, I think?
I do have Jesters, yep. I've got a Jester show, but that's like this week, so depending on what time the podcast comes out, I probably already did it.
Tomorrow evening.
Okay, so I've got one on Thursday at the New Hope Cinema Bar and Grill. So get yourself out to New Hope, and I will tell a more... I'll give the R-rated version of what I do, and Vil's the X-rated version.
Nice. Is this the Enchantment Under the Sea show?
No, this is the Pride.
That's already happened.
Taste the Vilification Tennis Rainbow.
Yep.
Saturday, June 25th at 10 p.m.
There you go.
Your Facebook.
No, I see it. It's just not been reposted lately. Yeah. So it's under their events.
Okay, there it is.
I don't want to do the clicky clack on the keyboard and pull it.
Oh,
out.
Sure. We don't care about
whatever.
Such
yeah, so. Taste the Vilification Rainbow, June 25th. There will be a link in the show notes, as always. All right. And then send me a link to that New Hope show, and I will make sure to get that in the show notes as well.
And your Twitch thing.
And my Twitch thing, okay.
And your Twitch thing.
Yep, just send me the
all
links
of your
and I'll
socials. Links to active
social security card, your bank numbers.
Just all of it.
Aha, jokes on you. I bank in a credit union, so.
Any final thoughts? I know James sent the final thoughts. He said, "Love you, bye." In that case, thank you very much to everybody who has been listening to this podcast. Thank you to James for sending in the Fast Five. Jenna is reprieved for one more week at least. On behalf of myself and thank you to Mike for being our guest.
I was about to say rude.
I got into a groove. Thank you.
Thank you for being here, Mike.
It is right to call me out on this.
I enjoy being on podcasts. I nothing else love to ramble on about whatever.
Indeed.
Yes, that's what we do here.
You fit right in. On behalf of myself and James and Jenna, eat the fucking cake.
Take it away, salsa.
Cha.
Cha, 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 cha.
Verbal Jazz Fingers.
Verbal Jazz Fingers is the name of my new Led Zeppelin cover band.